What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town. I'm Chanman V, and today, joined by three guys that you probably know in the community, some of your favorite streamers, some of the top players, Raynad, Dog, and Purple. Oh, I think I got you guys switched today. Crap. Welcome to the show, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Good
to be here.
Pretty good.
All right.
Everything's good.
Everything's good. Yeah, so I figured we'd talk about some of the, most recent news with BlizzCon qualifiers, and I think some of you guys are going to be playing that esports arena soon. And then we'll do our segment, Gimmick Gold, Good and Golden, I can't even say it sometimes, which we'll be evaluating some of the cards, and then we'll take a look at a couple decks that I picked out from Hearthstone. We can just evaluate and maybe improve upon, too. And then lastly, we'll be introducing a new segment today, building a deck, which I'll pick a card today and we'll build a deck live here, and then hopefully you guys can play it, on the ladder, given that's early in the season, and let us know, how it does. And then finally, we'll do a Q&A, as we always do, and you can post your questions at chanmanv.tv on the host for Value Town here. But why don't we kick off by talking a little bit about Blizzard qualifiers? Well, I fixed this real quick. Give me a second. So BlizzCon qualifiers are, I think, this week, right, for Europe. And then next week for America, which, Purple, you're actually part of. You're the only guy here still part of it, so congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
So how has practice been going for you lately?
Very bad.
Brad?
I've consistently held up a rank 2K legend playtesting my lineup for regionals, so yeah, just bad.
What? Okay. Well, at least you have another week, right? So
yeah, one more week to figure out what I'm doing and what decks to bring.
Yeah, exactly. So are you going to be watching this week really closely? And I mean, or how different, I guess, is Europe in America?
Everyone plays the same, like, four or five decks. Druid, Patron, Handlock, Yamexin, maybe a Casino Mage after that, and ever so often a Hunter. So everyone's playing the same decks because it's consensus as to what the best decks are.
All right. Well, how are you feeling, confident-wise, against the other players? Do you think they're... favorites you see in the tournament?
Well, Dog and Raynad got knocked out. All Archon got knocked out. There's Trump and, I feel like I'm kind of sitting pretty because...
Wow, okay.
Like, all the big names are already out.
I think, by virtue of the fact that the big names got knocked out, just kind of proves that you have the same odds as anyone else, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're still playing.
It's like double elimination at this point, though, right? There's groups... And there are people from the South American region, right? Two of them, Nicole, or that you have to play against?
Yeah. And from my understanding, they didn't have all the cards, or they were playing Grand Crusader intentionally. So, their metagame's a bit different, kind of worried about it.
I don't know if you should be worried or happy.
Notably, they both had... The players that came from the South American qualifier... brought mid-range Paladin, which is something that didn't happen on NA or EU, really. So, I just haven't practiced against mid-range Paladin in a long time.
Mid-range Paladin's not too bad right now, especially because Druid and Demon Handlock are so prevalent, right?
Yeah, so it's good against the popular decks that aren't Patron.
Grand Crusader, wow. Yeah, that's definitely interesting.
I've never actually won a game against Grand Crusader in my life.
What? Never?
I've never had it played against me, but I've also never won again.
There was a time where it was in... God, deck was it that people were trying to fit it in?
I saw it in Tempo Mage before.
Yeah, I think it was a Tempo Mage? Gosh, I don't know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what the South American guys did. They squeezed it in on the sixth slot in Tempo Mage.
Yeah.
Just because you just run out of cards anyways, so you might as well have a 5-5 that gives you a card.
Yeah.
Over running a Sylvanas in the deck or...
Yeah, free Tyrion, right?
Yeah,
why not Hazard Drake?
Yeah, right.
The four health actually dies to a lot of things. Like 5/5s are really hard to kill for a lot of
six mana. I don't know. I'd rather play an Oshli or something like Antonidas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. All right. Well, I mean, the you know, definitely the BlizzCon regionals. I mean, this is supposed to be the main storyline right here in Hearthstone being to BlizzCon. So I think San Francisco, you going there, are you guaranteed money just by even going to this regional? I think,
yeah,
right?
I think a couple of thousand or something.
Okay,
though.
Yeah, that's cool. At least you get something, like, regardless. But of course, you want to be, there at the end.
I don't think anyone goes to this regional caring about 2,000. It's
exactly.
It's all actually about going to BlizzCon.
Is it top two or is it just the winner?
It's top four.
It's top four, from each regional.
Top four out of eight players. Yep.
Oh wow. Okay.
And there's
four players
from EU, four players from Europe, four players from Asia, and four players from Australia. 16 to go to compete in BlizzCon.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be great. 16. I think last year there was 8. There was definitely less than 16 last year at the actual event, I believe.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I think there was, but yeah. Anyways, looking forward to it. Hopefully, yeah, you make it there, man. It'd be great to see you at BlizzCon. It'd be great. All right. I think coming up actually this weekend, there's another event, which is the Esports Arena event that Kibler's been obviously promoting a lot. And Dog, you're going to be there. Actually, Ray, you're going to be there too, right?
Yeah, it's like a 30-minute drive. I was actually there last week or something with Hafu and Tides, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Right, with the arena thing. You guys doing the arena together?
On stream?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, I remember that. How is the arena, by the way? Like, I remember hearing about them planning it originally, and then I vaguely remember hearing them opening it, but never been there, and I don't know if I've talked to anybody that's been
there. I like the venue a lot. I mean, it's really clean, and it's a nice big stage, comfortable. They have food and stuff nearby. It was pretty cool. Actually, I played my BlizzCon match there. Don't remember if I won or lost. I think I lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I got eliminated at that arena or something. It was pretty frustrating.
Bad memories, man.
Yeah. And that was really stressful, like week or day by day thing. I had to play every day. I played once from Esports Arena, and then I played from like the Blizzard offices, and then like home one time. And
wow.
The arena itself was really cool. I'm actually excited for the tournament. Those guys are going to be doing a lot more stuff there regularly, and it's cool that it's local mostly. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it just a big? I mean, is it literally just a big arena type of setup, or are there like lots of little? You know, like little stages, I guess, and then just one main stage.
It's just one main stage. Like, you walk in the doors, and then it's a giant LAN center with a stage out front and a big, like, display behind it.
Yeah.
And, a ton of computers and seating stuff, so.
Okay, cool.
I think me and Tides are actually going to play the one of their Counter-Strike tournaments.
What? Really?
Yeah, why not? You get five people together.
Okay.
Neither of us is good at the game, but might as well.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, definitely Counter-Strike would be... Is it like a professional tournament, or is it just one of these casual kind of tournaments?
Oh, just like a local LAN.
Yeah, okay, cool. Sounds good. Well, Dog, you feeling good about this tournament? I think we were talking a little bit about it, but excited for it?
Yeah, it should be good. It's like... the prize pool of like a DreamHack, but it's like in the United States, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Fly over there, play for a weekend, come back, see how it goes. Should be fun.
Do you know the format yet?
I actually don't. I'm kind of hoping it's like groups, but I have no idea.
The organizer told me, ask Kibler. Well, I mean, like, I don't know, like, is it called the Kibler tournament?
That's what we were asking. We were like, Kibler seems to be organizing a lot of it, but...
Maybe it's one deck then. That would be cool.
Single deck.
One deck? What?
Like Swiss?
Best of ones?
Swiss, best of threes, one deck. That's how I would.
I have no idea what it is. I don't have any details on this tournament.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Well, anyways, this tournament's going to be this weekend, and yeah, Killer's hosting it. So definitely check it out, guys. These two will be playing in it, as well as a bunch of other, you know, really popular players and streamers. Hyped, which you can see right here, Strife, Crota, Tides, Firebat, Soleil. Lots of good players here. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk some cards now. Let's get into some of our card talk, and we're gonna be doing our segment which is Gimmick Good or Golden, that we've, you know, been doing at least a couple of the episodes that you guys have probably seen already. And so I've picked out a couple new, or at least six new cards. Let's see. Yeah, I think, believe six, maybe. No, actually seven new cards. So we're going to go through them one by one. And what we're going to have is we're going to have the guest basically classify them as Gimmick Gold or Golden. Gimmick being just a bad card or maybe a faddish card. But long-term, not a good card. Good being just okay. It can be decent, but not one of those OP cards or anything. And then Golden, a card that's going to be sticking around for a long time in the meta. So we'll start off with Fallen Hero, which is a mage card that, again, when TGT first started, everybody was really excited about it because it had something to do with the hero power and all these dreams of being able to cast 2 damage 10 times and things like that going through people's minds. But Raynad, what do you think about this card?
The Fallen Hero, I don't like, it's playable, but don't like it after playing with it a lot. It's really hard for this card to be good while things like Haunted Creeper and Mad Scientist are in rotation and Shielded Minibot. There's just so many matchups where it's like, if I'm not coining it, I feel like it's a waste to play it, and if I do coin it, I feel like I'm trading 4 mana for 1 card, like a mini bot or something. So, I don't know. Like, I want to like it, but I think it really needed to be a 2-3 just because of how absurd some of the 2-drops are right now.
All right. Dom, what do you think?
I agree. There's too many, like, power 2-drops. Like, Minibot just completely destroys this. I wouldn't say it's a bad card, though. Like, if I wanted to run a 2-drop that wasn't, like, a Mad Scientist and Mage or Sorcerer's Apprentice, it would probably be this. Mm-hmm. You can play it. They kind of have to clear it, so it has, like, pseudo-taunt in that aspect. So it's, like, it's decent. I'd classify it as good. Definitely not, like, golden or anything above that.
Okay. Purple?
Best case scenario, you coin it on turn one, you block a juggler. Juggler decks also play Scientist and Creeper, though, so not great. And turn four, you get to kill a juggler, but you'd rather just play Shredder or Water Elemental, because that actually advances your board more than developing a 3-2. Best scenario is bad.
Okay. Any situation where, or any state of the meta where you could see this being decent?
Takeaway Minibot and Scientist.
Right, yeah. Those cards aren't in the game. This is actually really good.
Yeah, which those cards are forever going to be in the game, I think. All right, next up we got Silver Hand Regent. This card was... I think a lot of people are thinking about this card just in terms of more of a flooding type of deck or things like Paladin or Shaman, I think, originally. But, Dog, what do you think?
I was actually running a deck that just, like, ran purely tokens. It was running, like, Fencing Coach.
Yeah.
So you can, like, get that, like, you know, Inspire effect with Murloc Knight or Silver Hand Reagent and stuff like that. And it worked pretty well. Like, it has its place, but it's not, like, good enough to where it would be a top-tier deck. And you wouldn't play this in any other class other than Paladin. I don't really see a case where you would. So It's like mediocre at best. I'd always run Murloc Knight over Silverhand Regent. And a 3-mana 3-3, like if that's 2 drops, it's just the body's not there. It's okay. It's fun to play with, but not very good.
All right, Purple?
Again, you're only playing it in Paladin, and you're not putting this in your deck over Alder Peacekeeper or Muster for Battle. Mm-hmm. So realistically, you want to play True Silver or Shredder or Blessing of Kings on turn 4. So you can't curve with the card, making it a liability, because Paladin is just a deck you need to curve out with. So, just not good.
Not good. All right. Ray?
I think the card's like, I don't know, it just kind of shows how good something has to be for it to be called good in Hearthstone. Like, so many of the cards are strong or just like good on paper, but you really have to do something broken at this point to see playing constructed. I mean, Silverhand Regent is like, I mean, it's a really good arena card, and on paper it's solid, but yeah, it's just so important to just do the best possible thing you can every single turn using all your mana that you just don't really want to be inspiring instead of playing Shredder, and you don't really want to be playing a 3-3 turn 3, so yeah, it's like, it's fine, but I don't think it'll ever be strong enough that It's worth putting in your deck over other stuff.
All right, so probably, I think, good, right? Triple goods here? Maybe a gimmick from purple? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and I'm bad.
All right, next up we got... All right, Maiden of the Lake. All right, this card, again, is another card that affects your hero power. Actually reduces it by one, which is nice for sure. But what do you guys think of this, purple?
We're just here to tell you how bad every Inspire card is.
I think Dog is the only person who's played with the card extensively, and I think he's got the most valid opinion of it.
I mean,
with the major demo deck, right?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. It almost has, like, it's almost good enough to where you can play it as a 4-drop, but the stat point is just missing. Like, if it had one more stat on, like, anything, aside from the mana cost, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, if it had, like, one more stat point, it'd be actually playable and things. But I did try it in, like, a major demo deck, and it works, like, really, really well with it. I mean, it's a one-of, but it has its place for, like, fun decks. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't ever, like, see it in, like, a constructed deck. Even in, like, an Inspire deck, it's, like, kind of hard to fit in. Because, like, what Inspire effect is really that good that you want to reduce it? Or, like, what hero power is really that good that you want to reduce it by one? The only one is, like, I don't know, the Ragnaros one. Or, I mean, maybe Armor Up or something. I have no idea. But it's just, like, not good enough. Yeah.
What if it was permanent? What if the hero power is permanent?
Oh, then everyone would play that. That thing is sick.
Yeah.
All right, so two gimmicks in the goal. Ray, any comments on this or no?
Maiden, I've played it a decent amount and kind of like a tempo mage thing with Photo Riders and next champion and stuff. Right. And it was, just every game I kind of wished I had a Shredder. But
it does have six health, right? It's six on the board for a while.
Yeah, the problem
the two,
is...
The two is the problem.
Yeah, that's part of it. They're treating the effect like spell power. Like the reason there's not much spell power played in Constructed is because Blizzard keeps misbalancing it. Like this bonus, just like spell power, it needs to be free. Like you can't be losing any stats on the card. It has to be like a Yeti worth of stats, and then this has to be a bonus for it to see Constructed play. But they decided to like remove a stat point. I agree with Dog, no matter where you put it, like if it was Oasis Snapjaw, or if it was... Mm-hmm. You know, a 3/6 just neutral water elemental thing, then you know, it probably becomes a little too good. Maybe if the hero power got reduced to 0 mana, or maybe if I don't know, maybe if it cost 3 mana and had like one less health. But yeah, as is, it's just a little too weak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next up we've got Tuskar Jouster, which I definitely do see from time to time in some mid-range paladins here, and whether they heal or not, they, you know, it seems to still be somewhat effective as a 5/5 body. Ray, what do you think of this?
Tuskar Jouster, it's so hard to say how good these cards are because like all the slow paladin cards have been pushed out by Challenger. Mm-hmm. Like when you're playing paladin, you just want to be playing Mysterious Challenger, and because of that, it's like I haven't gotten to play with these cards as much as I'd like to. Jouster's okay. I don't know. I think Belcher's better as like a defensive card, and I think five mana is like a really competitive slot for the deck. Mm-hmm. So again, it's one of those things where the card has so much competition that I don't think I'll see a ton of play, but it's not unplayable, you know.
How important is the heal, I guess, you know, in terms of it being...
It's really important. That's the problem. Like the heal is... When you play a card on turn 5 with the intention of healing you, it's there to, like, win you the game against Hunter. And this card will win you the game against Hunter, like, 60% of the time. And the other 40% of the time, you're going to go straight to your collection right after and take it out of your deck.
Right. Right. Dog?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, if you play this card, you're going to want to, like... You can play it on turn 5 for the body, which is good. I mean, if you don't have any other options, yeah, sure. It's, like, better than a heal bot in that aspect. But, I mean, most of the time when you play it, you're going to want to heal. And it kind of sucks if you don't heal. But at the same time, like, against Hunter, you're going to have a higher curve than them generally. So, like, I don't know. I would say it's higher than, like, 60%. You win it, like, 70%. And even then, like, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think this card, like, is pretty decent. You just have to, like, up your curve. And you can definitely do it if you... Because it says reveal a minion, right? Not, like, spells, so... You can just, like, up your curve with minions and then include, like, the muster for battle and the equality and all that garbage so this thing, like, hits more often. And you have, like, stronger bodies. But Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I always like argue whether or not I should play Healbot or Tuskar Jouster.
Right.
And then I always include Tuskar Jouster and just get... I blame the loss on the Tuskar Jouster, not on myself.
Even when you get the heal,
even when I get the heal, I'm just like, man, if that was like one more point of heal, I'd be set.
Exactly right. Purple?
Realistically, you're playing one zombie Chao, two mini buffs, two jugglers, an owl. You're not even going 60% on Jousts against Hunter. Like, yeah. Wolf Rider and Leroy will win those Jousts against your deck. And the time you actually need the heal, it means you miss your early drops, meaning your early drops are still in the deck. So it's not even 60%. So on top of that, you're competing against Quartermaster, Sludge Belcher, and Lofeb realistically in the 5 spot.
So I think you're competing with Healbot more. I think this is a card where you compete with Healbot, not Belcher.
Yeah, but if you don't trust the card to go off, then you're still including Healbot and you're stuck with a deck with 7/5 drops.
Sure.
So just very mediocre.
All right. So I guess in the good range, I think generally from the three of you guys. Next up, we've got Bash, which we're seeing a lot in we're starting to see a lot, at least in the Control Warriors, even some of these Fatigue Warriors that we're seeing. What do you think of this card, Dog?
When I first saw it, I thought the card was like the worst thing ever.
Right, I think a lot of people.
I was like, why would anyone want to play this? Like, it doesn't even draw you a card. I don't know. I'm not really in the mindset of just, like, gaining armor and, like, you know, how that influences the board state. I still don't like the card, maybe because I don't play Warrior very much. It just doesn't seem that good to me. I don't know. Maybe it's, like, a one-of. I do like that it can go face, though. That's pretty cool. Because I always die to that against a Warrior. I'm just like, ah, you already used Grom. I'm good. And then, like, Bash comes out of nowhere behind all my taunts. I'm just like, ah, it's terrible. But it's okay. I wouldn't play it personally.
Okay, Purple?
I think the card's really good. You're in this spot in your early game where if you miss Fire War Axe, that Knife Juggler's going to start accumulating damage. And then you're going to have, say, maybe an Animal Companion or just something else to swing at with Deathspite later. So you're in that middle spot where if you miss Fire War Axe, you have a recovery plan against Knife Juggler. And it's just an additional removal spell that heals you. So it's really good in aggro matchups. It's got a lot of good spots. I play two of them in Control Warrior right now. I think it's good.
Oh, wow. Okay, two of them. Right. What do you think?
I started out playing zero of it because I thought that it would be, like, too many cards in the deck that don't draw cards or don't, like, have substance late game. But I play two of it now. It's really good, I think. Just important to maximize your removal and... It's just so flexible that it's like even when it's bad, it's not that bad, and when it's good, it like stops you from taking 20 damage from Knife Juggler or something else. So I've been really impressed with it. I like Bash and things like Justicar Trueheart make this a little bit better because they actually give like they basically just give you like more stuff to use your mana on late game, so you can afford to have more things like Bash that just you know sacrifice a card for board control or for life.
I actually want to add a point. Sure. Against a druid that actually draws Wild Growth and you're on coin, you can actually deal with Shredder without coining Deathbite. And there's no you currently don't play any 4-drops minions in Control Warrior. So you mangle your curve by coining Deathbiting that Shredder. So it allows you to gap towards your 5. So it's got a nice spot, like especially there, which is one of the harder matchups.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So for Bash, what did you guys replace, I guess, with Bash?
I hate that question because I don't know what was in your deck in the
first
place.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. It's probably a minion, though, right?
For me, it's like I play one shield block and I've been running one or zero acolytes.
Oh, okay.
Zero acolytes. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, we're about to talk
about... Depends on matchups you're good.
Yeah, we're about to talk about a deck with zero acolytes, actually. Okay, moving on, we're going to go to Dark Bargain. A Warlock card that Purple, you told me you tried a lot like in the very beginning of TGT. So what do you think of this card?
It's not good.
I want it to be good,
but it's like Siphon Soul. It hasn't been playable in Handlock in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 6-mana card with similar effect and it's on the 6th spot, except it has a huge drawback. It's it can't be played. It can't be played in Zoo. So your archetypes are Malaluk. You don't want to be pitching combo pieces. Handlock. Maybe you can pitch some cards in Handlock. Like, Handlock's definitely... And it just doesn't fit in Zoo, of course. But it's worse than Siphon, and Siphon's not playable.
You forgot Dreadsteedlock, man. Come on, man. No, what do you think, Ray?
Yeah, it's just too weak. Like, it's so close to being good, right? You need, if things that weren't tokens and weren't Death Rattly were getting played, a card like this would be so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You could even play it in something like Zoo, or you just play it like a third Doomguard or something, just blow them out, you know. But it's that's just not the metagame. Everything is, you know, musters and shredders and implosions, and it's just Haunted Creeper. There's too many problems with destroying stuff at random or destroying minions in general. So
it's such a high mana cost too. 6. That's
maybe if there was more discard synergy. That's a really cool theme. I wish they pushed it a little more. Maybe if Dreadsteed like got put in play when you discard it.
Yeah. Well, they seem to be just introducing some more of these discard type of cards. So, or at least some that gain power from discard. We'll probably see more of them in the future here. Dog, what do you think?
I didn't even know this card existed.
What?
I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
I don't know. It's because during this I was just like, oh, like that's a cool card, I guess. I could see it like maybe in like a mid range warlock, but even then, like, they're gonna be using removal spell on your minions as opposed to just like you wanting to use this. So I think it's just bad. It doesn't fit anywhere, and yeah, it's just really, really bad.
But, all right, triple gimmick there. And then our last card, final card, is Back to the Mage. Whoops. It's Spellslinger. And we're starting to see a little bit of Spellslinger. Some people have been playing it in the Xeno Mage, right? Purple, what do you think?
So it competes with a spot of Arcane Intellect in the deck, and it's pseudo-draw. But if you miss your 3-drop, you know, a lot of the time, most of the time, you don't want to play Spellslinger on 3. I'm just debating if it's better than Arcane Intellect on 3. The problem with it is it's just not a curve minion that you want to be playing on turn 3. But it's good if you top deck it on 6, and you can utilize the mana immediately when you're out of cards. So you have to run a really low curve and have no other plays around turn 5 and 6 and draw a spell that costs less than 3, kind of thing, for it to be good. Too many variables for it to be consistent.
All right, interesting. Ray, what do you think?
I mean, I think playing it on 3 is fine. I mean, it's not like they're usually going to have an immediate target for their spell, like less than 30% of the time or something. They would have like a good play off of the Spellslinger that they would... Most of the time, they're going to respond with like their own on-curve thing or Deathbite or something. The card's okay, but yeah, it does compete with Arcane Intellect. I'm not sure which one's better. On paper, I would think Spellslinger would be a lot better because you get one less card, but you're replacing it with a 0-mana 3-4, which your tempo deck should want. But yeah, it's just in practice, it has not been that impressive, and I really go back and forth. I'm not sure what's better. I think like a card like this has a lot of potential long term if like more cards get released and Mage can have a much lower curve than something like Spellslinger looks a lot better. You want this kind of cheap, decent-sized minion that kind of fills up your hand again in the late game. But yeah, right now it's probably not great, I would say.
Do you even care that your opponent gets a card or spell?
I mean, the idea is that the decks I would play it in would be the decks that don't care. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, right?
Okay.
But yeah, I think that I would call it good. It is playable. Like, it's good. Just not golden.
Dog?
So I've been playing a lot of Tempo Mage, and I never include this card.
Okay.
But I think it's good. I think it's a really good card. Because the idea behind it is, like, you have a really low curve, and they just, like, use this as, like, pseudo card draw, right? So you play it, and then they can't play the spell because it costs too much, but you can play it because, you know, it doesn't cost that much. But it's kind of hard to find a balance between, like, card draw and what cost spell you're going to get. Because if you're going to get, like, an execute or something, like, that's one mana. And sure, that's good with your ping, but, like, I don't know. Sometimes you get Tree of Life, and you're just like, well, this doesn't help.
Right.
So, yeah, and I think it's a really good card, though.
Random question, but does it have any spot in a Control Mage where you can use it as a 31st card in your deck, like Thought Steal would kind of thing?
I don't think so.
No?
I think in Control Mage, you kind of want to know what they're playing. And if you give them a random spell, it just kind of, like, confuses you. Almost. I don't know. It makes it too hard to predict what they're going to do.
It might be worth trying. I don't know.
Yeah. Verbal, you like this card right now, or no?
No.
All right.
Just throwing out ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, that's going to conclude our Gimme Good or Golden segment there. And we're going to move on to talking about decks. And I have a couple here to discuss. First one being Kit Katz's Sarad deck, which was, I think he got pretty high in Legend, like, maybe last week with it. And I talked maybe briefly with him, and he said it was actually quite good. But this deck is one of those decks that don't have Acolyte in it. And, of course, there's a Sarad in it, which is always adds kind of a fun nuance to it. What do you think of this deck? Rayna, you want to start?
I mean, the no Acolytes is the interesting part to me, but it is kind of boring, right? Like, it's a Control Warrior deck. Mm-hmm. It has some slams, and it has an Nexus Champion Sarad, but it's Control Warrior, right?
Like, right.
How much does your win percentage change if you replace Nexus Champion Sarad with, like, a second Shield Maiden or something boring, you know? It's a very... I'm just disappointed, man. You needed to have something better for us, Chan-Man. Where's the Major Domo deck, Dog?
Exactly, actually. That would have been fun. I don't know. Dog, what do you think?
Sure, it's good.
This deck is Control Warrior. Yeah.
Just straight up Control.
It doesn't run Cruel Taskmasters, which is kind of interesting. I cut those as well in place of Slams, because I really like Slam right now.
What do you think of Revenge? I mean,
It's okay. It's like a Whirlwind, and if you're weak, it's better Whirlwind. There's not much to say about it. It's like, you know, removal. The BGH is kind of interesting, because you're not running Cruel Taskmasters. So, I don't know. I usually, like, only have BGH in my Warrior if I'm running Cruel Taskmasters for a little more synergy. But yeah, it's just Control Warrior.
That's actually a good point he brought up, where if you play Big Game Hunter, well, if you're not playing Acolytes, the Big Game Hunter doesn't make sense, because you're losing by default to Handlock with this deck, because you're just going to run out of cards and they're going to run you over. So having a Big Game Hunter for a matchup that you're already not going to win doesn't seem completely necessary, although maybe in the Control Warrior mirror it could be okay, because you don't have draw, so you're going to win by fatigue.
Right.
The Nexus, I've played with this deck or something close to it. It's kind of, you can kind of embarrass some, like, base hunters by, like, prepping Lay on Hands later in the game to get it going long enough. But just super high variance card. It's oftentimes you can't do anything with the spell because it's just random.
Right. There's probably a decent number that's not going to be applicable. Yeah. But
it's like a fun deck that's not that fun because it's still just Control Warrior. I don't know. You're just like putting a Nexus Champion. Yeah, you're just putting a Nexus Champion Sarad in it. I don't know. Strange to me.
All right.
I think the interesting parts of this are like the no Acolytes and the no Taskmasters for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to say that you just lose to Handlock without Acolytes. Like, that's not. I don't think that's the.
I think that's already a bad matchup, and you just, if you have a full hand at all times, you can just answer every threat.
It's like that's drawing, like, Champions Warrior, right? You drop that sucker down. Execute the Handlock gonna do.
Get a sacrificial pack.
That's right, exactly. Alright, next deck, the Pirate Rogue. I forgot who's... I can't remember actually the person, the author of this Rogue, but definitely been hearing some people making it to Legend with the Pirate Rogue. I think Savitz had one that was on Reddit the other day. He played Dragon, actually. So this isn't... But what do you guys think of this Rogue?
I built this.
You did? Is this your deck?
Well, it's my deck with two Buccaneers. Let me pull up the link. Okay. It's good, though. It's decent. I played it before TGT, though. It wasn't that good back then, but now it might be really good. Because... I just really like Rogue right now. I don't know, man. I've been playing it a lot, and this is pretty much the same win percentage as the normal ones.
What's funny is that, like, a lot of people are starting to play Rogue a lot, and, what, a week ago, Rogue was just you know, actually a few weeks. It's been week after week that Rogue's just been, for the most part, not being played. You know, if anything, it was just the standard oil Rogue. But this week seems to be a completely different story. Purple, what do you think? I think we were talking a little bit about this, and you said you played a pretty similar one.
I started playing this season for the grind to legend. We're rank 10 so far. We're, I think, 15-1 with this deck, or something similar.
Okay.
But the way I did it was not Assassin's Blade. I stopped the curve at 5 of greenskin, and the goal is to incrementally grow your weapon until turn 5. So it's more like a weapon themed deck than a pirate themed deck. So you start building with the buccaneer, and then with the, what's the 3/2 that gives your weapon +1?
The
goblin auto barber.
Yeah, that guy. So you keep building. You add a deadly poison wherever the mana fits, and then you drop this green skin on 5, and all of a sudden you actually have a lot of damage. And same theme with the dread corsairs. Double deckhand, double buccaneer. I'm not playing the blood accelerators or the ship's cannon, so it's not full pirates. And I'm actually throwing. I have a Leroy over an Assassin's Blade and Cold Lights over Sprints, and it's just much more aggressive.
Very different tech.
Yeah, that's pretty different.
Well, it runs 6 pirates.
All right.
As long as you have over 4 pirates, it's considered a pirate deck, I guess.
Run one pirate, it's a pirate.
One card in that control warrior deck, it was called a Nexus Champion.
Oh, that's true. Okay, alright, fair. That's fair enough. Alright, what do you think, Doc?
Like the cannons, though. Like, when I was playing it, cannon was... Yeah. It's like something you actually wanted to do over hero powering turn 2. It's a really strong card. I mean, ship's cannon's like the kind of card where if there was more of those, pirates would actually be a pretty real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just right now, it's a little bit tough to find reasons outside of that to have pirate synergy. Because, like, the Pirate Lord guy is not that good. 3/3/1
3/3/1 Oh, yeah, right.
The leader guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dog, what do you think?
I played Pirate Tech, and I got, like, top 8 with it. I was, like, midway through the season. But it ran... It didn't run Tink's Oil. It didn't run Saps. It ran all Pirates, an Assassin's Blade, and then no preps, no sprints, and Cold Lights. And I just, like, it was, like, kind of a smorky list, so you just play all your pirates, like, Zoo, and then you just, like, flurry him down, because it ran 2 flurries still, because Buccaneer buffs the weapon, so it's still pretty good.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know, it stomped Druid, like, it destroyed Druid, because, like, it could not keep up with it. And I played a bunch of those, it beat Paladin pretty consistently. Oh, it was a fun deck, I haven't tried it with oils and preps yet. Well, my reasoning was, like, you don't have the card draw to sustain it, and including preps and sprints kind of, like, I don't know, kind of slows it down too much, I feel like. Because, like, if you include preps in your deck, you have to have enough card draw to, like, support it. And then you have to include sprint, and then suddenly you're just playing Oil Rogue with pirates, and it gets kind of weird. So,
How do you beat druids with 5/10s without zap? Huh? I feel like you just lose if they play with 5/10.
You kill them on, like, turn... They're too scared. I don't know. You just kill them on, like, turn 6. Because, like, I don't know, your Bloodsail Raider is, what, a 6/3 usually. Your Dread Corsair comes out for free. And then you just, like, raffle stomp him from there. Still runs backstabs, so... Yeah.
All right. Pirate Rogue back, then, I guess. Even though we're not using any of the new pirates except for Buccaneer, I guess. Which is, you know, probably the best one.
Isn't that the only new pirate? There's the Sky Captain, right? And then...
Oh, yeah, Sky Captain. There's, I guess, cards utilize
the other pirates. They're not pirate, but the Shady Dealer. The Shady Dealer is actually pretty sick. If you can get him out... A 5/4 on turn 3 is, like, amazing. Except it dies to a Shredder, but still.
you get 5 in before it dies, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that's going to be it for the decks. I think we're gonna take a quick break just to kind of get the next segment set up. But before we do that, I wanted to remind you guys that if you guys want to support the show, that we have a Patreon up for Valuetown at patreon.com/Valuetown. Just want to thank all the patrons up to this point this past week. Really appreciate it. It really helps me, you know, develop the show and, you know, make it better than it's ever been. So big thanks to you guys for doing that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's going to be a really quick one, so don't go anywhere. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to be starting up our new segment here, which I'm calling it Build a Deck. That's so amazing, right? What a one unique name for the segment. But what we're going to do is I'm going to choose a card, And we're going to be doing this, I wouldn't say regularly, but definitely from time to time on the show. And I'm going to either choose a card or a concept, and today it's going to be a card. And I'm going to have these three guys build a deck around the card. So today we're going to be doing a paladin, and it's going to be the card's going to be Adric the Pure, which we don't get a chance to see in Constructed very much right now. So I figured this would be a good place to at least encourage people to play this card or play some kind of deck with this card. So all right, guys, what do you think? We're going to start with Adric, 7 drop here. What do you think the theme should be for this deck? Anybody?
We have to be a control deck at this point. We can't put in too many Hydra-ups and Paladins, so we're not playing Boom. So we're not aiming towards pushing damage. We're winning a grindy game, and we're winning by value.
Okay.
Yeah, Justicar fits the theme for sure.
Okay, so double.
I think you have to play Tyrion, right?
Yeah, that's Tyrion.
Right, so Tyrion, double Justicar or just one?
Justicar is legendary.
Oh, Justicar. Oh, Justicar. I was thinking of Tuskar Jouster for some reason. Yeah, Justicar. Let me find it. There we go.
Double muster, double quartermaster, probably, right? Or one quartermaster?
Maybe one quartermaster. Yeah. The standard stuff you put in the mini bots, the peacekeepers, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the most important thing about a deck like this is not dying to combo. That's kind of the tough thing about these kinds of lists. So things like Defender of Argus help a lot, I think.
Yeah. The problem is, like, with mid-range paladins, you're always going to die to 30 damage plus combos. So we can just ignore Patron as a deck and just not worry about that one and hope we don't hit it on ladder playing this.
Or we could play, like, Ancient Watcher, Coghammer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds interesting, too.
There's a lot of ways to go with it.
Okay, so right now I have the muster, or one or two musters. I have one quartermaster.
Yeah, musters, you put in two musters. The card's too good. Put two in.
Double mini bot, right?
Double mini bot. Do we play? I actually kind of like Reyna's idea.
Let's try something different. Let's try something different. Yeah, exactly, right? Two of them, Ray?
Yeah, and just run
double two Coghammer,
double Argus, right?
All
right.
Yeah, well.
Double Defender?
Argus is the hard one because you want to play other 4-drops, so I was doing 2 Sun Fury, 1 Argus. But double Argus helps more with Patron.
Alright, Sun Fury.
That's good, double Argus.
Double Argus, alright.
Yeah, you can run double Shadow also, so you curve out into an Argus target almost for certain.
Okay,
probably so one Owl as well.
I think we can get away with 0 quality.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Okay, so we got Owl, we've got Coghammer too, right?
You're never worried about clearing their board. We just want to make their board not hit us in the face. So
yeah.
Okay. So no.
I don't think you can not play mini bots, right? That's just
The card's too good. You can't cut broken cards.
Yep.
Okay, so we're up to 15 now. At least what I have right here. Aldor's or no?
I mean, probably.
I think so.
Playing Adric, then.
Because they're also not going to want to like run their stuff into Ancient Watchers, so you can just Aldor them, and they can't get past it anyway.
That's good. That's good. All right, so...
Kodos, right?
Yeah, the question is, are there Kodos in this deck?
Yeah, there's two Kodos
in this deck. Yes! All right.
They're a really good defender.
We're going to need some kind of supporting card drop to get... Probably at least one lay on hands, maybe two. We're so slow, we might need two.
Yeah.
I don't think you can run two if you're not running a quality.
That's true, because usually you lay on hands and
just run an Acolyte. Everything's going to have one attack anyways, so you just run your Acolyte.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's really good.
Yeah. That's a good point. All right, two Acolytes. Up to 21 now.
And I'm going to have to try this deck.
I know, it looks like fun. It does, doesn't it?
You can Argus your Acolyte also. There's so much synergy.
Coghammer goes well with Blessing of Kings. Blessing of Kings goes well with Acolyte.
Okay.
Well, we don't have True Silvers or Consecrates yet. We might want to deal with that.
Consecrate has to be in the deck, right?
Yeah.
Because their board's going to build up with stuff.
Yeah, and it's going to be weak from destroying fonts as well.
Yep. All right.
Is it a 1-of or a 2-of? Like, without a quality, Consecrate's very mediocre.
That's a good point.
I think it's pretty good without a quality. I mean, it's just...
You get that Night Juggler hoverboard pretty commonly.
If it's not in our deck, if we ever lose the board, we lose the game.
That's I think double's fine, and then like one True Silver, and then just like start putting in like late threats like Ysera and stuff like that. Because we don't have any like win conditions right now. We're just drawing cards and setting up taunts. I mean, I guess we have just a card.
I like that plan. Like Quartermaster is probably better than something like Ysera.
I think Ysera is good, especially with like Sun Furies and stuff.
What the Watcher does do very well is protect all the little 1/1s. So Quartermaster is actually going to more reliably go off. So I figure if Brayden had with the second Quartermaster, we're actually all putting late game threats.
I think two Sun Furies too much. We could play that one. Yeah, Moltens are good, but then you have to play a lot of healing.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, I think I agree with the one Sun Fury, because we have double Argus anyways, and we're missing out on a 4-drop, so we're going to need board before, so we either need to include another 4-drop or Zombie Chess.
Do we need our Big Game Hunter?
We should probably actually put the Cog Hammers in our deck. That'll make it better.
I don't think we need a Big Game Hunter.
We're making everything's attack 1, then. Yeah.
We have Kodo, Zio. I'm just going to slam them.
That's right. All right, so Coghammer, yes or no?
Two. Yeah. How are we playing Watcher without?
Yeah, you need two Coghammers.
Okay. Two of them? Okay.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because I was asked before. You guys didn't say anything, so. All right. 24 now. Still no True Silver.
Oh, that. I think we agreed on a one of True Silver?
Yeah, just one of.
Yeah. And wait, Coghammer doesn't work with Acolyte, right? I thought there was a bug with Acolyte where if it like has Divine Shield and it takes damage, you still draw a card or something.
Really?
Yeah, I think there was a bug with it.
Really?
Acolyte's always the center of bugs with the. If you guys remember the DC Hunter?
The DC. Oh, yeah.
Wild Pyro tracking Acolyte make your opponent
that's
DC.
Right, that's right. Oh, gosh, that was a while back. But yeah, I remember that. Okay, so was it two consecrate? Was it two consecrates or one?
We need two.
Okay.
We need two chows, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what Dan was saying. All right.
If you want, we have card draw. Maybe Murloc Knights?
I don't know. That could
work. Ooh, Murloc Knights. Yeah. That's a broken card. At least in.
So now we're going to have four drop minions? Two Argus, two Murloc.
All right. So this is what we're looking at right now. We got 30 cards now. Do we want to tweak anything?
I think it looks pretty solid.
Yeah. The only thing it's missing is like maybe one life gain card, but I don't even know if that's important. I might make the True Silver.
Well, we don't have the. Okay. Well, yeah. Right. We don't have it.
I'd probably take out a Coghammer, but that's just me.
We're gonna feel really bad when these ancient watchers don't do anything because the card does say it can't attack.
We're playing it, right?
We're playing it. Yeah. Oh, we want to play a game with it?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right, we got time actually. Gonna flew through the other stuff. Here we go.
What rank are you?
Okay. I haven't played a game. I don't think. Yeah, I haven't played a game. Or no, yeah, I haven't played a game.
So it's like rank 17. On... Yeah. Or wait, no, it's the first day of the season.
Yeah, it's the first day of the season.
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
That's kind of why I figured it would be a great time to do this segment, so people could just play some fun decks. Try some stuff out.
Oh, this is
please be an Ancient Watcher. Please be an Ancient Watcher.
Oh, I wish they added another card like Ancient Watcher. Like they added the 2/4 or the 2/5 or something.
Yeah. Or Inspire, right?
The Inspire one. Yeah, I wish they added just like straight up another card like Ancient Watcher.
Yeah.
I like that card a lot.
Let's keep the cog or no?
I don't think you do. You have double muster, double zombie chow, Ancient Watchers.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
You can just believe for the Watcher on 2 and the Coghammer on 3, though.
Yeah. Alright, we drop it. Yeah, kind of gets a Paladin, too, so. Gotta get something.
We should probably just hard mold for Zombie Chow against Paladin.
Yeah.
And Minibot, of course.
And Muster.
Ancient Watcher, baby. Here we go.
Job done.
Oh, the dream.
This is a pretty good curve.
Yeah, it is. Oh, double. Now we just need a taunt, man.
Job's done.
Got it. No, you already see the counter synergy of Ancient Watcher and Muster for Battle.
What's that?
Well, if you play Muster for Battle, then you have a 1 in 4 to actually hit the Watcher with the Coghammer.
Yeah, but you can trade your stuff in.
That's true.
Should have put the Cult Master in.
Damn. The Cult Master? Oh, man.
Turn 2 Watcher.
He's in shock, man. He's just in shock. There we go. Alright.
Reporting for duty. He's salty. You're gonna draw like the one Sun Fury turn 4.
Argus. Argus!
Win Muster, counter by the Muster.
Yeah, right? Or no? You look like you're about to say something, Ray. No?
Yeah, you Muster.
Okay. Just wasn't sure.
Because you get greedy for consecration.
You could be super greedy, but yeah, I think.
Yeah, you monster. There's no way you don't.
All right. Yeah. You don't want to commit to having to consecrate on 4 necessarily.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're already ahead because you have a watcher out and he's point. They get bored.
Reporting for duty. Phase. Yep.
Does having a watcher mean you're ahead? Is that how this game?
Zombie Chow. Oh my god, he's playing a control deck. We're dead.
You consecrate?
Yeah, 100%. Look at how greedy he is.
100%? Really? No other. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good play, but.
I mean, he probably has 2 silver in hand, and you're putting him on having a.
Is there any way you just acolyte off your mini bot dude? The only thing we're killing with Consecrate is just the zombie jab. Right, we're not exactly protecting our board because we don't even have Quartermaster in hand.
I mean, I don't think you drop Acolyte off curve. Because next turn you can just play the Watcher with Acolyte. If anything, you play the
Minibot Hero Power.
Yeah.
I like Minibot Hero Power. I don't think blowing the Consecrate here is that good.
Not the consensus. Move
quickly! Yeah, we can save it. That's fine.
There you go. And then trade? Red alert!
Yeah, we call it one.
I kind of like the Acolyte off curve. I don't know. Man.
Trade all the dudes, right?
Yeah, we
don't want him to trade us.
Yeah.
And then you leave the Chow up, and then we have a mini bot against the Chow, so that's fine.
Yeah. Still want that taunt, man.
Well, we only have 2 Arguses and 2 Cosmos, right? No Sun Fury.
Oh, we have 1 Sun Fury.
Okay.
Aww. Alright, we got some choices here.
Shredder. Ugh.
Could just task, trade, or.
Can we just quarter pounder for 1?
Yeah, I think that's what you do. Mm-hmm.
Looks good enough to me.
We do. That's like our only late game.
I know. That's the only way we win, really. Right?
We're gonna draw Adric the Cure.
Yeah,
and we're gonna win.
We're gonna win 10 turns from then. Let's see.
It just looks pretty clean right now.
All right, let's see what it is. The battle. A second. That taunt, man.
I think we should have attacked Chow first.
Yeah, there's more of a chance that there's a taunt than there is a pirate.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point.
No, there's 2 drop taunts, and then there's
just the 4/1 that you would rather not trade into.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's got to be more than 2. Noitron, Frostwolf, and the bear.
The bear.
Does the bear always have taunt?
Yeah, it's a 2/2.
Yeah. Oh, the druid card. Mm-hmm.
Follow the rules. Scared. Reporting for duty.
Scared of that Ancient Watcher.
How does Fallen Hero work in other classes? Does it let you?
It doesn't.
In Warlock, you take 1 more damage, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's terrible.
Hunter, yeah. I think you deal an extra damage.
Yeah, you do deal another extra one.
So just go with Murloc Knight?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, definitely. Play the one you do, though.
Which one? Oh.
The one that you just drew?
You always play it. You always play the one on the right.
Nice.
So you tell people that are paying attention with the perfect op deck or something like that. Duty call.
For justice. I think you just clear off the 3-3, right?
No, no, no. You kill the 3-3 and the... Yeah.
Yeah, you kill the 3-3.
Sweet.
That was a good Murloc to get.
And our Watcher ate up an Aldor already.
I know, right?
Why would you Aldor a Watcher? If anything, we have like Owl in our deck, right?
He probably didn't have a play.
Like the advantage of playing this kind of deck is that it's like the first time they ever play against Ancient Watcher from Paladin. So they just do plays like that. Because they don't know what to do, you know?
Oh, Kodo. Murloc here?
Oh, man, we got destroyed.
Yeah,
it's Murloc again. Like, yeah, of course they didn't have free silver every turn.
Yeah.
I kind of like getting the Acolyte going.
Oh, right.
We're running out of cards.
You have enough cards. And Murloc gives you so much value. I don't know.
It's true. But yeah, it's going into his Dr. Boom turn, and we don't have a Peacekeeper or anything, any way of dealing with it.
We got Consecrate.
I don't like Acolyte in that instance.
I have no time.
I guess
for
you're giving him two priorities to split up between if he has like a True Silver or something.
I was just gonna go Watcher Acolyte, dude. He's just gonna use his second Peacekeeper on the Watcher anyways.
Alright, there's our Argus.
Sylvanas. Alright.
Wow, we don't got much of an answer for Sylvanas.
I think you just leave it up. Argus.
That's definitely probably, dude, but what else?
Dude, and you taunt up the Watcher?
I think you, I think you do.
Do you only taunt up the Watcher?
No. Yeah. Well, you're right.
Do you taunt up a 1-1 with it?
No, you just taunt up the Watcher. The 5-5 Sylvanas is going to trade into a 5-6.
Yeah.
That feels bad for him.
Okay, so we dude. Okay, we dude first.
That's why you don't play Sylvanas and Paladin. Reporting for duty.
My shield for Argus. The battle. All right, hopefully he can do it here. Quickly. Oh, consecrate would be.
You should. Yeah.
Pretty smart. Okay, there we go.
Okay, run. Enter the Colosseum. It's a long
part. Is terrible. Oh my god.
Consecrate. No, put your faith
in the light. It's another card that I didn't know existed.
Oh, that was a good draw.
Never seen anybody play it. Like, I don't know the animation for it.
All right, clutch draw there.
I don't remember the animation, but I did play it, and it was exactly as good as you expected.
All right, so Aldor.
Oh, the dream.
Wait, no. We might get the Argus here, though, right?
Just RNG it. You're going to get it. You have to believe, man.
Okay, all right.
It's too late. We hesitated too long. You have to hero power now.
No, what?
Wait. How cleanly do we kill this off?
Not bit. Really, we'd have to suicide our Murloc.
You can't just not Murloc. Okay.
To battle. Or can we?
Not Murloc? What?
You can't just not inspire when you have a Murloc Knight in play.
That's fine. We got it. No, just
it's just un-American.
Wait, can you clear? Quickly. Yeah, you can clear.
We can clear. To battle.
I think you can trade off one of your minions for sure.
Yeah, we knocked his shield though.
I might attack him. I attack him with the 3-4. I would at least attack him with the 3-4. I don't know. I think killing is fine.
It's the Gashbringer swings into a 5-1 Ancient Watcher. Are we really upset?
And this Acolyte's getting value. We should have played it ages ago when you guys suggested it. Here I was. Don't even click the hero power.
Oh man, that's good. Oh, are these gonna attack now? Oh boy.
Reporting for duty.
Alright. Gonna have to get value from the 4-1.
Did he just Owl or Watcher?
Watcher's been through some
Owl or Watcher from 1-1, basically. And lets us attack, right? So. Alright, so crash that. Consecrate? That's probably the best value there.
Do you play everything or do you just.
We can hold back the muster for battle. We have two. We have another quartermaster to draw. Okay. I think we actually full value trade and hope he doesn't have his second conch.
Definitely.
So you put the Kodo into the Valkyrie conch.
Oh shit.
Could we really beat Consecrate number two, given the state of things?
Oh, so we should have kept that one. Crap.
You can muster and clear it if you want.
Yo, hold on. You gotta muster now if you have the three one.
Okay, so we're going there.
Yeah, muster, then consecrate.
Then consecrate, then aqua.
Wait, muster. I'm swinging at this, right?
Yeah, with your face.
Am I playing the aqua now?
Push delay. Yeah.
Attack the Valtrager face. And play Acolyte and Conch. And go face with our for six.
Remember to get the six in.
Yep.
Alright. Cool.
Boom. We're crushing them.
Well, we've almost got lethal.
This might have been a better play. It plays around the second Consecrate so well.
Yeah. No, he just hits the Acolyte.
We only have one quartermaster, right? Crap. Oh. Dirty.
No, we have two, don't we? Or no, we never added the second one.
No, I don't think we added the second. I think we added
the second one.
That's really bad since we have just a copy deck. The second quartermaster is probably cool.
Yeah, given that's probably our win condition, too.
I was about to face you. Okay, you'll draw like an Aldor or Yadrick, and you'll just draw multiple cards.
There we go. Alright, we drew an Aldor, like you said.
Wait, he played a dude. I don't even know if you...
Just draw first?
Just draw first.
Alright, so we got... Oh, Cockhammer.
It's pretty good.
Wait, are we even playing the Peacekeeper?
At this point, I feel like you're all in, so...
Yeah.
Just play and hit face? Just play and hit face?
Well, you play Cockhammer and you kill his guy, right? If you can.
Just play everything, right?
Alright, I'm playing the Cockhammer. I think you guys are a little bit more here. And they just play everything, right?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm just gonna
face. I see no point in saving the Aldor. Like, if you
have to. Yeah. Alright, we're going face.
Move quickly. The battle has warning for justice.
Alright, got him down to 9.
Reporting for duty.
No Consecrate. Actually, Consecrate wouldn't be too awful.
I don't necessarily agree that we're actually so far all in on this board state. We technically have two cards with the second from the Acolyte. We'd have a Peacekeeper in hand, so he's only up one card. And we still have Tyrion in our deck. And he doesn't.
Oh my goodness!
Whoa! We got him.
Submerkize.
We got him.
Oh, I get a card.
Victory. We won, right?
Got him, yep, we got him.
Easy. 100% win rate.
Easy. 100% win rate. Alright, let me cut and paste this deck and give it to everybody here. So, let's put it in the chat here. But in the meantime, guys, we're going to go into some Q&A while I'm doing this. And you guys can post your questions on championv.tv, just on the Value Town post, which I will link also right now. So let me get this screenshotted for you guys. That's a fun deck, man. I don't think we saw all the different kind of colors we can, or different scenarios we can have with that deck. But
it might need a tad of perfection, but I really like the Watcher idea. The Acolytes, the Kodos, lots of synergies.
I've been trying to make it work in like every shell of Midrange Paladin since before GVG, and it has never worked yet.
Was Watcher played when, like, Giants Paladin was a thing? Way back when?
Not in Paladin. It was played in Druid.
Some people played it. I think some people played it, right? Way back when in the Giants deck.
Was it? I have to ask Key.
It was, like, beta. Yeah, Case was the one who would have played it, if anything. But okay, guys, let's take some questions here. Let's see, we have a couple. All right, looks like... Here we go. All right. John St. Laurent O'Connor asks, predict the BlizzCon champion. That's not purple.
Qualified.
I would not say me.
You would not say me.
I would say purple.
I would say purple. Here's the list.
Maybe Osaka.
How many players qualified total?
Like, are still in it, you mean? Or
yeah.
Oh, there's a lot.
There's four regions, so 32, I guess.
Yeah, 32 are still in it.
So I linked you there.
Well, no, the China isn't in it.
I'm generating.
Because they've already.
The result is 27 out of 32. I like that number.
27? What are you talking about?
13, 14, 15, 16. 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So Deck is your BlizzCon champion.
Damn.
30.
Where's it from? What flag is that?
But you just chose number 27? Is that the deal?
No, I went to random.org.
Oh, okay.
We can just tell Blizzard to cancel the event.
Yeah, exactly. We've already sinned it, and we already know who's winning. All right, any legit guesses here? Dog?
EU, you have, like, Life Coach, Tice, and...
I think Osaka.
That's Scott. Yeah. Maverick is actually really good.
He is really good, yeah. All of EU is it's crazy. Yeah. A lot of good players qualified.
Yeah. There's four like players I don't feel favored against going into it if any of those guys qualify. So
you know any of the Asian players or no?
Oh, Ping Ping qualified. He's really good. Ping Ping Ho. He's really good.
Shaman, the only player to bring Shaman.
Okay. Whoa.
A mid range Shaman. Nice.
Makes me think the qualifier wasn't that hard.
He's played it since before GVG, I think. Always plays Shaman.
Krannish is in it too. Alright.
One of the Chinese players too might just spike it. Like, that is the most competitive scene by far. That region is, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. They have the most regular tournaments. They have the most players on ladder. They have, like, the most networking. They're just. It's all. I would argue it's the artist region. Not even close, really.
Hmm.
Why is it that players are moving to Asia, though, to, like, get BlizzCon points during the latter season?
Yeah, because it's easier. But how'd that work out?
It's just easier to climb. It's easier to climb the ladder, but it's not easier in the tournament scene, is what you're saying?
In Asia? Sorry, what's... I don't understand the
question. Yeah. Well, like, a lot of pro players to get, like, BlizzCon points for Legend seeding through a season go to the Asia server, because right. They say it's easier.
Yeah.
So is the skill level in Asia just strictly lower?
Oh, well, Asia is like the smallest region, so that's why it's really easy. A lot of
China is a different server.
China
has their own server.
Yeah, Asia is like
server. Yeah. It's like 20k plus legends per month. Yeah. Or is it 30,000 now?
Wow,
it's a lot.
That's a lot. Wow.
Okay, I didn't realize those are different entities.
But I don't know these Chinese players specifically, so that's interesting. But they're all really good. Like, really good. Mm-hmm. So,
What's the difference in the meta on that server, do you know? Is it faster or...?
More tech cards.
It's faster.
Look at somebody else. Just looking at the decks they're running.
Whatever we think is broken, they usually play slightly less of it. And then they play a lot of weird stuff.
Okay.
As far as, like, tech choices, usually you see Kazans and mind control techs and stuff. So.
Interesting.
Really tilting to play against in a tournament setting.
Yeah.
I don't think they're the best region. That's just...
You don't think so?
No. Whenever I played the tournament in China, they're playing Sack Pack in their zoo, and they're playing, like, Enhanced Omakano, and I was like, what is this? And then I got Enhanced Omakano double PO'd. Because he got like infuriated. <theory. laughs> I still think it's bad.
I think they have it figured out. You go for the most high variance power plays. And...
Well, the exactly. thing is, like, their, the meta dice, is like, their meta is like all zoo, right? So it makes sense to include Sack Pack because you just Sack Pack him, killing bosses and Doom cards and stuff. And it's like a free win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Daniel Nussen asks, what is the best counter to Secret Paladin?
Freeze Mage, Pigeon Worm.
Anything else?
I don't think anything. Handlock does surprisingly well if you draw Molten. But it's just a matter of drawing Molten. How does Zoo do against it, actually? I haven't tested that.
Good question.
I think it's
Is any Voidwalker Knife Juggler openings? I'll just craps on any form of Paladin. If you have exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paladin could also just... It just comes down to like who draws more one drops and stuff. And Minibot into Muster is still absurdly difficult to beat.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Next up, we've got Jenny Yang asks, what will be the best ladder deck after Patron is nerfed? I don't know if Patron's ever going to get nerfed, but hypothetically, what would be the best deck?
If you completely take out Patron?
Yeah.
Probably Paladin, right? Like, it has to be.
It beats Tanlock, it beats Druid. It might actually be Paladin.
Yeah. Hmm. Alright, let's see. Could Malagus Hunter work by Philip Pinto? Malagus Hunter. I don't think I've ever tried Malagus Hunter.
Anybody problem with here? Malagos is like when you play it in Hunter, you're not smarking them for two.
I tried
it. Yeah, you missed two damage.
It was really bad. The thing is, like, you can play King's Oath to guarantee you get the Malagos because you just don't play any other minions. You play like two other minions, right? So you like always get Malagos and Emperor. And so it works, and you just run a bunch of removal, but you have to wait until turn 8 to play Malagos, mm-hmm. like, because of Emperor, and then you, like, double Arcane Shot and things like that. So it just doesn't work that well because you have to wait so long. You need a mechanic to, like, enhance it or get more value out of spells aside from Emperor. Like, I don't know, Rogue has Prep, for instance, and, what was it? Shaman has Ancestor's Call, so they can make that work. But, with Hunter, you have to wait until turn 8 with a hero power that doesn't influence board. That's, like, impossible.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Tyler Castronuevo, he asks, in your opinion, is it okay for expansions to generally only add a very small number of cards that actually get played meta-wise? I guess instead of adding, you know, just like it's a full array of cards where, I don't know, maybe half of them get played, even though they all get played in Arena, right? But
I think what they need to do is they need to cycle out old cards. Like, actually take out important cards from the... Like, take Swipe out a Druid. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to see add spells, and you're going to see more transition towards new cards. It's not that the new cards they're releasing are unplayable. It's just that you're never cutting Swipe from Druid. So until they cycle first sets out, whenever they release a new set, there's not going to be that many playables.
So are you suggesting cycling them out and replacing them in the... I mean, I'm thinking free to play, right? Like, just what do you do with those players if you replace them?
My suggestion kind of shafts those people for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might help the free to play players, right? If only certain sets would be allowed, then you have less stuff that you need to collect.
Yeah, they kind of just put them in different buckets, right? Kind of like what some of the other TCGs do. Eventually, we'll have to do that. They have to do that eventually, right?
Eventually, there's going to be 5,000 cards, and you can't have 5,000 cards in the same format.
Yeah. Dog, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I zoned out. What was the question?
So basically, the person was asking if we should just, or should it be only expansions? Would it be okay to only add a very small number of cards that are, I guess, powerful enough to be played meta-wise.
I think what they should have done is just, like, hold back all the cards and then release, like, three sets at once. That way everyone's like, oh my god, look at all these new decks I can make. Because, I mean, I guess they're adding bad cards, but it'd be cool if they release more good ones. But the thing, I don't know. That's a hard question, because you can't really just add good cards, because then you just have to wait for the new expansion to play those good cards. I kind of agree with Purple. The thing is, they need... like, a larger variety is always good, because imagine if there was, like, a Swipe for, like, 5 mana, but instead it did 2 damage to the side, to the people on the side. So, like, more options are always good. So I don't mind them adding bad cards. I just wish they would release, like, more quickly or more at once. That way there's, like, more options. Instead of being frustrated that Inspire doesn't work because, you know, they only released one set with them. Yeah. Or, you know, Mech doesn't work because they only released one set with them.
Well, Mech did work.
Well, Mech does work, yeah.
Neckmage was pretty good for a while there.
Yeah.
Well, with GVG, I felt like that was... they definitely clumped enough mech cards together where that type of deck design was viable, right? And I guess that's what you're asking for. Like, if they're going to introduce something, introduce it with, like, a like a large amount of cards, right?
Yeah. Like the pirate theme's not developed enough. The beast
exactly.
theme's not no developed
theme is
enough.
Actually like good enough.
Like they gave enough mechs, but that's like the only theme they actually like. Even dragon, I guess there's enough dragons now.
Now, but it took barely. Two releases, right, for that. To
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But they dumped all of mech in one theme in one go, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I hope they do more theme stuff and just dump a lot of it all at once.
Exactly.
All right, Dylan Slavin asked, do you think the communication between Blizzard and its community in Hearthstone is declining? Bugs, Patron Warrior and stuff? And how would you like to see it change in the future? I guess the first question, do you think it has declined communication-wise?
I don't think not so. At all for me.
I don't think so, right?
I just don't think Patron's overpowered. Because that was like, it was a loaded question. Yeah. And Patron's below 50% in tournament play. The deck's not that good, guys. Like, just don't play Secret Paladin on a ladder because, you're not going to beat Patron. But the deck's just not overpowered. It can do ridiculous stuff, which is all good and dandy. But it's nothing like Gadget Coin Conceal. It's not on that power level at all.
I love that Patron is the best deck. It's like the least oppressing one that's ever been overpowered. And if it even is, if you want to call it that. It's really high skill cap, so the bad players don't beat me with it. So it's, I think it's like a good deck to have.
So some what's frustrating, and it's kind of similar to Buzzard Unleashed way back when, where you're afraid to play more than two minions because they draw like eight cards after Buzzard Unleashed. And right.
It's good counterplay though. I like that there's that level of thinking instead of just dumping your hand on the table and drooling a little and hoping they're dead.
For sure.
All right.
But the reason that all the decks that just dumped their hand out, that's the decks that Patron farms. So just don't go around playing these aggressive decks and play. Most decks beat Patron. Like, Anlok beats Patron, Druid beats Patron. Most things are very competitive against Patron. It's just.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's like super overpowered. I don't think they need to nerf it. It's just like annoying that most of the decks you see are trying to counter Patron. Like, honestly, you build your, people play Anlok so much. I mean, Handlock was obviously popular before, but people are playing Handlock so much because Patron's so popular. I feel so uncomfortable bringing Priest to tournament and, like, Shaman to tournament and things like that because they can't deal with it. But, I mean, I guess you can kind of tune your deck. As I said, I don't think it's, like, overpowered. I needed to rant a little. I don't really like meta-shaping decks like that.
Poor dog can't play Shaman on ladder because of Patron.
Feels bad, man.
That's definitely a fair point.
All right, Jenny Yang asks, at Purple, if Patron isn't overpowered, why did everyone bring it to BlizzCon Quals?
Well, in NA, only 3 out of 8 players actually made it with Patron.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, for the most part, talking with pros, other pros, and just, like, actually preparing for the event, everyone anticipated Secret Paladin to be a dominant force in the tournament, and not that many people actually showed up with Secret Paladin. So people brought Patron because they expected Secret Paladin because it's like the only viable deck besides Freeze Mage in my opinion, and you can't bring Freeze Mage because everyone anticipated people to bring Druid, so people brought a lot of Patron because you anticipated Paladin pretty much is the short answer for it.
It looks like Druid is the best performing deck, right? Only 3 of the players didn't qualify with it or something out of this Liquid Hearth Link
on NA. Hunter was the best performing deck, followed by Druid, then Handlock.
Yeah, I kind of see that there. Okay, next up for Dog. As right now, what is the number one card Rogue needs to be a top tier deck once more? Are there any new types of Rogue decks you would like to see?
I want Tempo Rogue to come back, basically. Tempo Rogue was so much fun. It interacted with the board really well. It didn't feel cheap or dirty. It was just like a very solid minion-based deck. So I want that to come back. As for something helping it, it just needs like a good body that it can play on like turn 3 or turn 4. I mean, turn 3 probably because it's missing a 3-drop or even a 2-drop.
They just released all control cards for Rogue on this set, and you can't play you can't play control cards in a class that doesn't have health gain.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Purple's like better rogue player than I am probably, so question would probably be better geared towards him.
It's hard to make like a good tempo rogue card that's not like just a broken thing you would put in every other rogue deck, or something that you wouldn't put in a oil rogue or some kind of degenerate rogue. Like Hearthstone, to tell like a top tier deck, you have to have a burst finish. It's the only comeback mechanism in the cell phone game. So like you can't. I don't know. It's hard to have a tier one deck that's not doing something degenerate, like, you know, prep oil flurry at least, which is probably like the fairest form of burst, but even that.
Yeah.
And just weapon destruction to actually deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't even work sometimes, right? Like if you just have the prep oil flurry.
You just make a fresh dagger. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It can be pretty bad. Yeah.
See, Gabriel, what do you think about OTK Warrior with Molten's Charge and Faceless? That's like old days, right?
Ambitious.
I was trying that on Ladder like just
it's
yesterday
because
I thought it'd be super fun. Yeah.
Okay.
I was like,
all right.
You just like play a bunch of weapons, get your health low, play a Molten, Faceless, and Charge, and you just completely destroy people. I had a Frost Giant in there because I was like trying to armor up enough to where I could do that as well. It's terrible. It doesn't work at all.
Molten makes a lot of sense because you're just going to be low on health because your deck sucks. So there's synergy there.
I really like all the weird warrior combo decks because there's so many.
Yeah.
Like you have all these defensive cards and armor to keep you alive until you draw enough garbage to like cheese them. And Patron's so good that you can't justify playing them. But like I was playing a lot of double Sea Kraken Worgen Warrior. This week, you know, like you Emperor the Sea Kraken and the Charge, but then if you don't get that, then you charge the Worgen and Rampage.
Wow.
On a side note, Doug, remember Spellflinger?
Axeflinger, you mean?
Axeflinger, that's
He killed me with Axeflinger.
So sad
blades.
That combo doesn't work.
No, it's really bad.
I thought it was lethal with Commanding Shout when the site
came out. When I saw that, I was like, wait, this is just broken. You just win if you get three cards.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not broken. I still
think it's because they can't have anything on board, right? Because if they have something on board, then it'll kill it.
Yeah. Which makes me sad. It's a lot of conditions that have to be met. But even if you do meet them, it doesn't work. Like, if you have the one health flinger.
Yeah, once it goes to one, it just stops on the spot. That was my first idea of that, too.
All right, well, I think that's going to be it. Thanks for all your questions, guys. You had a ton of questions tonight, so good stuff. I think that's going to be, for the most part, the show tonight. Oh, there's one last thing. We kind of have an announcement here on Valuetown that I wanted to let you guys know. Actually, me and Raynad wanted to let everybody know. But Valuetown and Tempest Storm are going to be partnering up, like, from here on out. It's one of the things I know you guys have said for a long time is that you enjoy episodes with Raynad on them. I mean, I think some of the best Valuetown episodes have all had Raynad involved with them. So, it's going to be great. Like, Raynad's going to be part of the show much more frequently, and at the same time, we're going to be moving the show over to the Tempest Storm stream also. Andre, want to say a few things, Ray, about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I've liked Valuetown for as long as it's been out, since like the early days of Hearthstone, and there's like that big gap where we didn't have it, which kind of sucked, so I just want to give Chris what he needs to do it more often, basically, and keep it a consistent thing, and hopefully you guys will see more of it.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be great, and again, we're gonna keep going. We're going to keep every week. We're going to have this, just the show. I'm going to try to start doing it on a regular schedule. We've been kind of moving around all over the place, and I think it's been hard for people to know when it is. It hasn't been on the calendar because of that reason. So we'll start nailing down a day, and so that everybody will know just where to look for us, and just be a little bit more consistent from that standpoint. Everything else is going to be the same, guys. The VODs will still be on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/shamanv, and the audios will be on SoundCloud and on iTunes too. So nothing changes there. But let's wrap things up. It's great to having you guys here, Purple Dog. It's your first time on Valuetown, so thanks for coming on, Ray, of course, as always. But you want to do some shout outs, Purple?
Shout out to my team, Gamers Origin, the French group, where I've been streaming in French on their channel and on Hearthstone FR, twitch.tv/HearthstoneFR. Shout out to my friends in Yarkon House, and that's about it.
All right, Dog?
Yeah, shout out to I guess you for having me, new mayor of Value Town, Reynad apparently. Wow. Stole that title.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right, Reynad.
Just shout out to Chan Man who contently Value Town is what keeps me coming back to Hearthstone over the hundreds of other options I have available thanks to the wonderful prices of G2A.com. And yeah, just excited to work together.
Yeah, I am too. So yeah, big shout out to Reynad and Team Tempo Storm for doing this. It's definitely going to be great to partner up with you guys. And Tempo Storm's just, I don't know if you guys know about Tempo Storm outside of Hearthstone, but Tempo Storm's definitely a rising team and just all of esports. So getting a chance to work with you is a great opportunity for myself too. But okay, guys, well, that's going to be it for Value Town this week. So for Chan Man V, Purple Dog, Reynad, we'll see you next week. Ada.